This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Jim, you got the Christmas tree up at your place, right?
I do, yeah, and the Christmas lights, yep.
And you went with a real tree. Where did you put the Christmas tree is the big question.
In our living room beside the fireplace.
Okay.
You know, stereotypical spot.
Fairly traditional, but you may want to consider moving it into your bedroom.
Why?
Because a recent study coming out of the UK revealed that a Christmas tree in your bedroom will improve your sex life.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why? The nature smells get you going?
Provides a more romantic atmosphere.
Stop.
The pine smell is part of it. And it just sets the mood nicely.
Okay, so what if I just put one of those rear view mirror pine trees around my neck? Same thing, smell the pine.
I don't think it has the same effect. I think the lights are a big part of it as well.
So stupid. There is not a single human I know who puts a Christmas tree in their bedroom. Have you ever seen such a thing?
Well, I'm not invited into many bedrooms anymore other than my own, so no.
I know, but like no friend. Everybody's is in the living room.
This could be. It does sound like something that a store came up with to try and get people to buy two Christmas trees.
Yeah, a second tree, a second smaller tree.
Spokesperson says it connects us with nature. It reminds us of our earliest ancestors who slept and made love outdoors. So they're not just pushing the Christmas tree in the bedroom, but they are pushing real wood. If you have some real wood in the bedroom, it will improve your sex life. But I hear artificial wood does a pretty good job as well. In some cases, some would argue it does a better job.
Sometimes, it's hard to compete.
And just a suggestion, if you're looking to spice things up.
Yeah. If you want to stop having sex at the outdoor tree lot, bring it home.
Don't have to go in the backyard anymore. You've got a Christmas tree in the bedroom. Hey, honey, why don't you get over here and unwrap your present?
Oh.
It's under the tree.
You got a question. Ask a lawyer. Ask a lawyer. A question about custody or a s***y neighbor. Ask a lawyer. Ask a lawyer.
It's time for Ask a Lawyer. We've got Ian Snedden with us, partner with Cohen Hiley. You can find him at CohenHiley.com. How are you, Ian?
I am well, thank you.
Good to hear from you. We have the phone lines open as well, 1-833-TAZ and Jim. That's 1-833-829-6546. If you have a question you'd like to run past a lawyer, Ian will do his best to answer that for you. Let's start with this one. We just got a call from one of our listeners, would like to remain anonymous, but is curious about his wife's situation. His wife has been let go from her job because she refuses to get vaccinated. And he is curious to know if there's any legal action he can take because she's been let go.
Yeah, that's a great question because it's something that's happening right now. And there are going to be numerous court challenges on the issue of whether an employer is justified in preventing people from being at the workplace because they're not vaccinated. I'm not an employment lawyer, and there are actually beyond even employment law and into charter rights too. I think that it will likely be found that an employer is entitled to make that decision, but that certainly hasn't been determined finally by the court yet. For this person, she should see an employment lawyer, and she might be able to at least sue for compensation for being, if she didn't get a severance, as some people would call it, when she was let go. I would think that those provisions would still apply, that if an employer terminates somebody's contract because they're not vaccinated, I don't know whether employers are still paying people the severance that they're supposed to, but I would imagine they would have to. So It would be best to consult with an employment lawyer.
It's weird, though, because the employers are only doing it because of the government. So then, therefore, isn't it the government's fault, and shouldn't they be liable?
Well, Jim, that's why there's so many questions that are going to be raised. I really do think there'll be several court challenges on it. The government is making a requirement, and you would think then that the employer would likely be protected because they're simply following the law. That's the logic I would follow, Jim.
What would you recommend to a client in this situation then, Ian? Let's say they came in, they've been fired. Would you say that they should fight it now, or should they be documenting everything and kind of waiting to see where the precedent is set, where things kind of land, where the ball lands with the higher courts here in Canada?
I think they should consult with an employment lawyer first, but likely not bring a lawsuit yet. There are limitation periods. And the other thing is that if people are terminated for this reason and they sign something releasing the employer and they haven't consulted with a lawyer yet, that could be very bad because they may be giving up all of these rights and all of these arguments that they might otherwise have. So I think it's important to see a lawyer right away, but likely it'll be a case of waiting, I would think, to see how other cases go, although somebody has to be the first or the sixth deciding case.
You got a question. Ask a lawyer. Ask a lawyer. A question about custody or a neighbor. Ask a lawyer. Ask a lawyer.
Ian Sneddon is a partner with Cohen Hiley Law Firm. Here's one in your wheelhouse. Ian specializes in family law. This is from Scott, one of our listeners. Text message says, here's my question, guys. Divorced couple. We adjust our child support amount annually with our T4s. I feel my ex has another job and two T4s, but she only claims she has one job.
Hmm.
How do you find out if your ex-partner is hiding a second income? Thank you.
It's a good question. So Our legislation allows for disclosure, particularly when it comes to child support. So first the request should be made, I want to see all of your income, and it's more than simply the T4, it's the complete income tax return. And normally you would be able to find on there if there's a second job, if it's sort of a low-grade attempt by the spouse to hide income. It's simply, oh, I didn't tell you about my other job. Well, it's still going to show up on the income tax return.
Okay.
If somebody's making a more deliberate attempt to hide that job, then, of course, it can get very complicated.
What if someone's doing a cash job? Like they're a tradesperson and they're doing side jobs for cash only.
Right. So sometimes you can find witnesses who will say, because they don't care, say, yeah, I paid them in cash for that. That's one way. So you either investigate on your own or you could hire someone to do so. That's probably one way. Another one is lifestyle. If somebody's saying, I only make $25,000 a year, but they have cars and they're going on vacations, then the court can take that into account. And then the third part that's in the legislation is the court can impute income. So even if somebody isn't making as much money as you think they are, the court can look to the capability of somebody, saying, okay, we know you're only making this amount of money, but you're actually capable of making considerably more. We're going to base child support on what your income should be. Not speculative.
Yeah, if somebody's working as a heart surgeon, they get a divorce and then they decide to become a sandwich artist.
Exactly. Yeah.
Follow your passion.
Just to screw over their ex.
But also, you could also lose a high paying job and then be forced to take a low paying job.
Yeah, so you wouldn't be blamed in that case, or that person wouldn't be.
But you'd have to prove it?
The onus initially is on the person saying, hey, this person is underemployed or is capable of earning much more income. Once they get over that hurdle, then the onus shifts to the person to try to show how much money they really have.
Okay. Well, I hope that helps with Scott's question there. We got one more. This one's kind of interesting. We want to get to it quickly here.
Question for Ian. I'm wondering about the rights of a teacher or principal to search a student or a student's locker at school.
Oh, none. As far as I'm aware, don't do it. So teachers don't have any special powers of search that ordinary citizens do. And
wouldn't the locker technically be school property, though? I can remember being in high school, and we'd get our lockers searched.
They'd come in with the dogs.
They'd come in with the bolt cutters. They'd cut bolt locks right off the lockers.
Yeah, I think in those cases, though, maybe they're involving the police, and the police might have to have reasonable cause, but teachers themselves shouldn't take the action into their own hands.
Definitely discuss it with the higher ups at the school board and find out what the policy is before you start tackling kids and open their knapsacks.
Yes.
Things have changed, eh? What was school like in your day, Ian?
Teachers were more likely to tackle you, and it was so acceptable that I once got whacked with a cricket bat on my butt for doing something.
And your parents still got you in trouble when you got home.
No, I didn't tell my parents about it.
Well, you probably deserved it.
Yeah, exactly.
I was afraid that my parents would be...
They'd give you another round. Get a badminton racket out or something. If you've got a legal question you want to ask off the air, Cohen Hiley is listening. Ian Stenton, thanks. You can find him at CohenHiley.com. Well, yesterday we had some bad news for vapors on the show, Jim. Mm-hmm. If you're vaping and you thought it was a safe alternative to getting floppy in the drawers, you know, the cigarettes you see on the package, they have the limp cigarette warning you that if you smoke too much that you could have erectile dysfunction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing goes for vaping, researchers have found.
Yeah, whatever it is, the mix of chemicals in there, something's going on. They haven't quite narrowed it down, but they say there is a pattern that you're 2.5 times more likely to suffer from ED if you're a vapor.
Mm. So that was some bad boner news yesterday. We've got some good boner news for you today.
Okay. Man, Mondays do suck. Tuesdays are great.
Tuesdays are great. We need to make this a regular segment on
the
show.
Good boner news.
Boner news with Taz and Jim. Here we go. This is very positive. Taking Viagra can cut your Alzheimer's risk by 69%.
Nice.
69.
Yeah. Researchers at the Cleveland Clinic have been trying to figure out if any drugs already approved by the FDA in the U.S. could help with Alzheimer's, and they found that generic Viagra looks very promising, went through more than 7 million medical records, and found that men who were on Viagra were much less likely to develop Alzheimer's over a 6-year period.
I wonder if this is because of something that's in Viagra itself, or if there's just a lifestyle or an attitude or something that with guys who are more likely to want or need Viagra, maybe they have a more active lifestyle. Like we've talked about it before, Tess, when you retire, all of a sudden you slowly start fading away if you don't keep up.
Yeah.
Like activities or
hobbies. You need something
hobbies.
To drive you.
Yeah. So maybe Viagra, you know, gives you a reason to get out of bed in the morning.
It gets the
motor
running, that's for sure. Older guys who take Viagra on a regular basis were the ones who whose risk was cut by 69%, and that is just, you wonder if it was 68 and the Cleveland Clinic is like, let's round it up.
Come on, let's make this a perfect story.
Well, there you go. If you're wondering why Grandpa's pants enter the room 2 minutes before he does.
Yeah, and why his memory is so great.
This is Magic Blue Pills. Mm-hmm. Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, now officially the best Cuomo.
He has been for a while, but officially now he is for sure.
I just had to Google just to double check, make sure. Is Rivers Cuomo related to Chris Cuomo and Andrew Cuomo? They are not related, despite sharing a last name. There's no relation between Rivers and the Cuomos. Both Rivers And the Cuomos were born in New York City, but they had very different upbringings. Okay. Chris Cuomo, he was let go by CNN on the weekend for helping out his brother, feeding him information that he shouldn't have been giving him, allegedly, when his brother was getting accused of sexual impropriety in the governor of New York's office. And Cuomo also put out a statement yesterday. Chris Cuomo, gotta be clear which Cuomo we're Cuomoing right now. Chris Cuomo, he has hung up the headphones on his Sirius XM show as well. So he's taken a step back from his radio show to focus on his family.
He's been doing that, I think, for a while. He threw his career away for his family.
Yeah, well, you know? He means like his kids and wife,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Which is always the go-to when something, you get accused of something or something happens. I got to focus on my family right now.
Like it was his choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been very hard on my family. It's not my fault at all. I'm such a good guy. I'm going to focus on my family now after making some bad decisions. That have affected all of us. But not Rivers. He's not related to them at all. Rivers Cuomo, still cool, everybody.
Yeah, still a good guy by all accounts.
Knock on
please,
wood.
Please. Yeah.
Did you hear that the Americans are going to be boycotting the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics?
Really?
Kinda.
Okay.
Kinda. Yesterday it was announced that the U.S. is going to be doing a diplomatic boycott. So they're still going to send the athletes over to compete, but they aren't going to send any diplomats to the Winter Games. February 4th is when those get underway in Beijing, China. And the reason is they have concerns about China's human rights record. So this is how they're going to stick it to China, not send the diplomats over for the Olympics.
That'll show them. The men's hockey team will still show up, but Kamala Harris will not.
Yeah, I don't know if I can watch hockey if they don't have diplomats to cut to in the audience. When there's a goal, I want to see a diplomat clapping afterwards. Otherwise, I can't enjoy the game.
I didn't know diplomats went. Like, I didn't know that was part. Are tax money going to pay to send, like, politicians
over?
Yeah,
of course. Of course it is.
That's so stupid.
There's always diplomats. You always see someone representing each country, a politician of a higher level. There are calls in Canada for us to join the diplomatic protest of the Beijing Games. So, again, it's still sending the athletes over to compete. But the politicians don't go to watch, which, man, China must be really upset about that. Just kidding, they're not.
Huh.
Here is, this is China's response here. I will translate. I got the subtitles up here. This is, the protagonists of the Beijing Winter Games are the athletes, not the individual politicians. Politicians who clamor for boycott for political self-interest or showing off and hyping things up. No one cares whether they come or not. That is from China.
I don't often agree with China, but they got a point on that one. Nobody does care. This sends no message.
Yeah, if you're going to boycott, boycott. If you want to make a point, don't send the athletes. I know it sucks for the athletes, but if China is that bad, then you shouldn't send the athletes.
It's like all of the countries are looking at each other saying, like, who's going to do well? You know, if America goes, we have a better chance at, the gold or something. Like, everybody's waiting for somebody to make a move, I think, and nobody's going to do it. And this would be the easiest year to do it. I mean, COVID complicates everything. If there was a year you could easily boycott it with the least, disruption as possible, is this year.
It's not something I would want to do. Canada, the men's hockey team is going to be incredible. I can't wait to watch that. But if you're going to boycott, boycott. This really is a half measure. I got this message. Taz and Jim, have you guys heard that there's a new breakthrough for dementia? Apparently Viagra can stop progression. Yes, we did. We couldn't sit on that story. That was the first thing we talked about this morning on the show.
Breaking!
It's Alzheimer's. If you take Viagra, if you're an older man, your risk of Alzheimer's could be cut by 69%, which is a little too perfect.
Yeah.
If you're taking Viagra.
Imagine giving your grandpa that for Christmas. A few pills. Hey, buddy.
What's that? There was an ad a couple years ago. It was a grandpa, and he's all sad at the family Christmas, and then the son goes over, gives him a gift. He opens it, and his eyes light up, and he springs out of the chair and gives the kid a hug, and it was a Pornhub gift card that he gave grandpa.
My grandpa probably wouldn't be able to figure out how to turn on the Google Chrome and find it in the first place.
Grandpa doesn't have Alzheimer's, but he needs a double wrist replacement.
Is he a skier? No.
This is kind of freaky. Call the Avengers. They may have found the Tesseract on the moon. What's this all about? A mysterious cube has been discovered by a Chinese rover on the moon.
It's a blurry cube off in the distance. Who knows if it's really a cube? But yeah, China has a rover on the moon right now. And on the horizon of the moon, you can see something. It's like kind of square, but it's so far away, it's hard to tell. They released the photo, and it's out there now, but they say it's actually technically only 80 meters away, but it could take a month for the rover to get there and actually investigate it, which I'm pretty surprised how slow the rover is. I know it's diligent, but can't you just, like, step on it and get over there, like, in a couple minutes?
No roads.
80 meters?
The infrastructure on the moon isn't great, I hear.
But, like, literally a snail could crawl there in a day.
Well, they need the detachable drone like they have on the Mars rover, right? Or you just you go for a little flight, check it out, and come back, dock on it, send the pictures back.
In a
perfect, what do they think it is?
Well, there's hypotheticals saying, is it alien? Is it a society that existed on Earth millennia ago and already made it to the moon? Then they were wiped out and they left some evidence on there. Or is it most likely an asteroid or something hit the moon, caused a bunch of debris to fly up, and it just so happened that a square stone rock or boulder is sitting at a funny spot.
Well, let's go check it out.
Yeah, just to make sure.
Yeah, we'll let you know in 6 months when the rover gets there. It's like 10 feet away. You know, it's going to take a while to investigate. An odd cube-shaped object on the moon. It's time to take a look at sports with Devin Peacock, our sports guy from Global News Radio. Dev, wild weather in Buffalo last night.
A crazy game where the New England Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills despite throwing only three passes in a 14-10 victory. The previous time we saw this was back in 1974 when the Bills beat the New York Jets by throwing only once. So we don't obviously see this all that often, but the win was just so crazy last night. Patriots being the Patriots, with Bill Belichick being kind of the crafty guy he is. He's just decided, if we do not have the wind at our back, we are just going to run the ball. And they ran the ball 46 times. They ran over 200 yards on the Bills. This is the second time we've seen the Bills run defense really suffer. They got, you know, pancaked by the Indianapolis Colts a couple weeks ago. And the Patriots had the winning formula.
Just to give you an idea of how bad the wind was, there was the team setting up, practicing kicks before the game, trying to kick a 40-yarder. It's clearly going into the uprights, but then, like, stopped and blew to the right. Like, it was, I don't know, some of the highest winds I've seen in a football game before.
It was crazy for the Bills, too, because in the first quarter, they had the wind behind them, so it was advantage Buffalo.
So he kicked like a 95
yard
field goal.
End to end.
The Bills kind of blew it, though, because they turned the ball over, and the Patriots, right after that, ran for a big touchdown that was really kind of the story of the game, because if New England doesn't score that touchdown off of that turnover, they may not have won this game. So they were able to turn points in their favor when they did not have the wind behind them, and that was really the difference in the game. If you did not have the wind behind you, you weren't throwing the ball, and if you couldn't throw the ball, it's hard to win the game, and the Patriots just snuck one out last night.
How bad is this news for the Buffalo Bills?
I mean, it's not catastrophic, but they are in a tough spot. There's just so much parity in the NFL right now. New England is looking really strong for the playoff picture. Buffalo, assuming they don't, you know, struggle even more, if they can get to, you know, around 10 wins, they could probably get into the playoffs here with, you know, a wild card spot or something, but they're not. By the way it looks right now, going to have home field advantage the way they did last year. Things started great for Buffalo this year. They've struggled the past couple of weeks, and it's going to be a bumpy ride if they keep playing like this.
Thank you very much for checking out the Taz and Jim podcast. If you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, live on the radio, you can do that on FM 96 in London or Y108 in Hamilton, weekday mornings from 5:30 until 9:30. Or subscribe, keep downloading the podcasts, and we'll keep talking.